Strangers in the Night.
Today on Catfish Best Source, we're going to talk catfish, we're going to talk boats. I'm going to visit with the one, the only, the G3 Sportsman, Scott Turnage. From the studios of Grand Forks Best Source, this is Catfish Best Source. I'm your host, Brad Durek, joined and assisted by producer Paul, who's about to be fired. Thanks for joining us tonight. As I mentioned before, tonight we are visited with Scott Turnage from G3 Sportsman. Comes to us from Springfield, Missouri. Met him about 10 years ago. Welcome aboard, Scott.
All right, now, are we sure this is the real one?
I mean, we've only done this
12 times now. This is our 12th do-over here.
Yeah, all right. We're good. I think we're good. Producer Paul, how are you doing?
Hey.
He doesn't know.
I mean, if this is how this thing's going to start, this is going to be one heck of a show right here.
Well, crack a beer and move along.
Yeah, we'll just get our cigars out and take our shirts off, and there it is. Okay, hey, I'm doing fine. I know I'm not as cold that you guys are as cold as I'm not as cold here as you guys are up there. You know, you said before air that you were at three. That's it. If you can say your degrees on just one hand, that's too cold.
So you're saying you're coming ice fishing this year, right?
No, I am not. I will not. Anybody that talks like me is not going ice fishing. No.
Oh, come on now. You came up here and gave us the best you betcha we've heard in years up here.
Yeah, that's right. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it up there. And so now we're going on, how long, what, 10-year anniversary from that show that we did?
Yeah, it was 2011. So I was doing show notes, and I figured it was about 2009-ish when I started harassing you, saying you got to get up here to the Red River. And June of 2011...
You got to figure it took me about 2 years to get there because there's no easy way from here to Grand Forks, North Dakota. I mean, every time we stopped on an airplane, our plane just got smaller.
Well, that's true, but you know, I-29 is a straight shot. Well, at least to Kansas City.
I guess. I don't even know where we finally got into North Dakota at. I don't know what town or whatever, but we finally did get there. And it was fun. I mean, that first night, I'm thinking, my gosh, I am so sleepy. And street lights weren't even on. I said, well, I can't go to bed now. It was 10:30. I'm like, good grief. Am I going to be watching the northern lights and stuff too? So, which I'm thinking you guys are seeing them now, aren't you?
We should be, but the clouds don't seem to want to break. But, yeah, we should be getting right in the thick of that right now.
But it was a fun trip. We did. We had a lot of fun. And go ahead and tell the people how worried you were about that filming.
All right. He gives me crap every time we talk about it. We were at flood stage a little over. I was a little concerned they were going to close ramps down. And flood stage is 28 feet here on the Red and Grand Forks. Those guys flew in. It was not quite 28 by the time the water boat hit the water. It was at 28 by the time the boat came off the water. It was pushing 30, and you know, it was lessons learned on the fly on that go around. And you know, believe it or not, I've used it again many a times.
Well, I remember talking to you on the phone, and you were going, I just don't know. I thought, hey, we've already got our plane tickets paid for, we're coming. And I said, you know, come on, now you're a guy. You ain't going to let a little high water. And let me tell you something. I've not seen it low, but the way we shot that show with that water high, one, it made the river look bigger. And I think it was a pristine, pretty-looking river with it all up high and all. I thought it looked really good.
Yeah, it was nice green middle of the summer. It turned out fantastic. I should mention now, if you want to watch the show, it's on YouTube at G3 Sportsman. It's called Northern Exposure. It's there. I watch it a couple of times a year. I still hear about it to this day, people watching that show and those fish we caught. And you know, you had a couple great comments on the fish when those first couple of fish hit the boat.
Yeah. You got to figure on anything social media now, especially YouTube format or whatever, they're always there. You know, when I was doing TV for all those years, you'd see it the first time, it would re-air 3 months later or whatever, and then it was gone. It, you know, unless you recorded it. But in the early days that I was doing it, you know, you couldn't record it. So you had to watch it that time or at the re-air. But then when TiVo and the DVRs and all that came out, what hurt me was people would fast forward through the show just to watch the commercials. So so the DVR didn't do me. You didn't even right over your head, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, G3 that. Makes a good boat. Everybody wants to look at them.
They wanted to watch the commercial. but anyway, yeah, we're all doing good. I can't believe it's been 10 years. It was a fun trip. Big old channel cats, that's for sure. Big channel cats. The biggest I'd ever call.
Yeah, I know there's a part of the show where you are holding one. It was one of the first ones hit the boat, if it wasn't the first one. And you go, this isn't a blue, guys. This is a channel cat.
Yeah, it's a channel cat. That's right. You know, those old, and I remember these old ugly sticks. I happen to have one right here. These were the ones that we use. These are the same ones. And I had these old ugly sticks, I don't know, 4 or 5 years before that. And I still use some of them, and they've just been some good little, you know, $39, $40 or whatever. Can't go wrong with them. I've got some B&Ms that I've been trying, and I like those. But catfish gear, man, what do you think about all that?
Well, I'm using ugly sticks now. I mean, pretty much exclusively paired with Abu. So the same thing we use to shoot that show, only the reels are a different color.
Oh, I'm just about, if I turn everything over and you'll know what I'm doing. I'm trying to maneuver. That's the one you're using, isn't it?
Actually, there's a new version of it that's black with a white catfish and the inside is orange. The same reel. But yeah, I've used those orange ones the last 4 or 5 years. And then, now they got the new black one that came out this summer. So,
you know, anything on a 6,500 platform, I think they're about as good all around. Reel, you know, the 6,500 Abus, those are just great reels. I know a lot of guys will use the 7,500s for the line capacity, but shoot, that 6,500 is a hard reel to beat for catfishing, in my opinion.
Well, I've been using them since I started catfishing. I mean, well over 20 years now I've been using them, and you know, you got to replace a part now and again, but I mean, they keep ticking, and I'm not exactly nice to my gear either, but
yeah.
You know, I do find some heavier rods, you have to go to the 7,000 to get them to balance out right. But,
right.
I mean, for the most part, the 6,500 is about as solid as it can get. And if you're fishing recreationally, you're not going to wreck them. You're going to use them for your lifetime, or at least part of your lifetime, without any real issue.
Yeah. Well, it's just amazing at how far catfish has evolved, catfishing has evolved. In the past 10, 15 years with the amount of eagerness that people want to go out and catch these fun fighting fish and the amount of gear, the different poles and reels and, well, even boats. I mean, there's actually boats now that are basically built for catfishing. And, I mean, it's just, who would have ever thought that? I mean, when I was a kid, catfishing was sit on the bank, throw out some chicken livers and wait for one of them to pull rod and everything in the water. I mean, that's the way it was for me. And now it's high-dollar business.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to talk about one of those boats here down the way, because you can't have the G3 Sportsman on here without talking about a G3 boat. But so you had alluded to the changes in – I'm going to kind of skip ahead and come back. You talked about the changes in the TV industry, and, you know, you're not even on TV anymore.
No. No, I was on there 14 years, I believe, 14 years. And this mug, old coffee mug I was drinking, this is how long ago? This is the WB31. That was back when Warner Brothers had a network. This is the WB. I don't know if you remember the WB.
Well, I was in the TV business, and we had the WB, which ultimately combined with CBS and made CW. So we were the sales force for that. So, yeah, I remember it really well.
That was one of my early local networks, because I started on local affiliates and still had a real job. I would shoot shows over the weekend. We'd edit it on a Thursday, and it would air the following Saturday. I mean, boy, I was cutting her close, but it was just doing it for fun. What became work was when people got to throwing money at it and wanting to branch out. And it was, so you figure in the years that I did, when I first started, we were using beta on the original master tape. And then we went to mini DV. Then we went to SD cam, XD cam, HDMI, and then 1080 HD, and now 4K, and soon to be 5K. So you figure that's seven or eight different formats since 2005. So 15 years. So every other year, there was something always changing. And the editing software that I'm so used to, Final Cut, not the Final Cut 10, but the regular Final Cut, I can't even pull 4K footage into it. I mean, it's just, I'm afraid on one of my computers to upgrade the operating software, because if it does, then I won't have Final Cut at all. So I won't be able to mess with any of the older stuff that I have. But a lot has changed, and the way we did that, I mean, once I started going full time, I mean, we were doing 26 new episodes a year. So you figure that's a show every other week. And you do that for about 14 years. And I know there's guys out there that have done it a lot longer. But they'll tell you the same thing. That's a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of fun. Got to meet a lot of great people just like yourself, and got to travel a lot of the country. And people say, well, you're a pro fisherman. But no, I'm not a professional fisherman. My profession is fishing. And there's a big difference. I don't have to catch that fish to make money, but I can make a living catching some fish. So there's a big difference in that. And so now, after it was just wearing us out, we just decided to, the last 3 years, we've just now done some YouTube videos, and I'll do some marketing videos for G3 or Yamaha or for whoever. I don't shoot as many episodes as I used to, but they're easier to shoot because there's really the internet. There's no rules, you know, where you had all the rules for TV with the broadcast, the networks, and they had to be shot a certain way. The levels and everything on the video had to be a certain way. The audio, all the paperwork for your commercials and your music rights and blah, 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 blah. Well, now the internet is just the Wild West. I mean, you can tell, you could go online and see any old boy with just his cell phone doing a fishing show now. He's smoking a cigarette, got a beer in his hand. He's out there catching a fish, drops the phone in the water, picks it up. He gets 100,000 views, you know. So it's about anybody can do it now. And that's why it's just information central out there.
You know, I'm probably one of the few people that can understand all the lingo you were just throwing around with mini DV and beta and 4K. Oh. You know, everybody knows 4K and all that now, but you go back to the days and, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I try to hold my tongue, but I'm critical of a lot of what's out there these days. And I think it goes back to the fact that I worked in the TV business for 16 years and was used to those rules of quality, and you have to do it like this, and it has to be timed out like this. And I think that, I mean, maybe it makes me old, I don't know, but I mean, I liked that part of it because it got to the point and it kept the interest factor going.
Well, it did. And then plus you had to have a certain level of quality in order to be aired on TV. That was the thing. That's what that's why I said that joke. People used to fast forward through my show and watch the commercials because the commercials were better. But it was my first major network, if you want to call it a major network, was actually a regional, and that was Fox Sports. But everybody knows Fox Sports, whether it be in their region. And when I started, Fox Sports wasn't broken down into all these regions that they are now. Fox Midwest, North, South, Fox Indiana, Fox Ohio, whatever. And that was the real turning point that really shot me up to where I could do more things. And we had a solid airtime at 8 o'clock every Sunday morning, right before church. People watch that, boy, I mean religiously watch that show. And we never changed either. We really never changed how we did the shows. It was never about me, which in hindsight would have been smarter, because then maybe I would have got more endorsements, would have made more money and da 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 on me. But the show wasn't about me. It was about everybody else. Just like when me and you did that show, it was about you. Of course, I talked and kind of controlled the chaos a little bit, but you know, the show was basically about Brad Durick and your guide service and the catfishing and where you were. And it really worked out well. It people enjoyed it. And then at the end, and I won't bore you anymore with it, but at the end, I was on two Fox Sports networks, Wild TV in Canada, Comcast Cable, Sportsman, or not Sportsman Channel, the last one. I was on Sportsman Channel at one time, the longest running show on Sportsman Channel. And then at the last, I was on NBC Sports. We were airing like 8-9 times a week. And it was crazy at the amount of airplay that we got. And starting out and doing this with Roger Bills, the marketing director at the time at G3, who since retired last year, our main goal was we want to show, to basically rebrand G3. And that's what we did, you know. 15 years ago, you know, a lot of people didn't know what a G3 was. They'd even ask, who makes G3? You know, well, G3 makes G3. But now, I mean, G3 is now a common name in the boating industry. And I'm not saying it was all due in part to me, but the show had a lot to do with it. And it also had a lot to do with introducing people, because back then we didn't have the internet as thick as it seems to be now. So we introduced a lot of people, a lot of guides like yourself and other people that might have not had the exposure, but then could get it on that TV show. And it helped kind of, you know, maybe give them a little boost or whatever to help them with their popularity and gain a few more guide trips out of it. And that was the most, that's what I loved about it the most.
Well, back in those days, I was still working in TV when you were up here. And
yeah.
So you were here in 11. In 14, I went full time. So something must have worked out right with it. And
you're welcome.
All right. Is this the point where you want to tell how great I am at catching fish?
Well, you are good at catching fish. Maybe I should say you're really good at hooking fish. You're just not very good at getting the fish that you hook into the boat. So that day that we shot that show that the people don't know, and the reason why, and with any good guide, of course, you want your guest or your client to catch the fish. That's the whole idea of you guiding. But I wanted to share the wealth and, you know, you catch some or whatever else. And you hooked several. It's just that you couldn't get up to the boat. Now, I'll take full blame for being a bad net guide, but there was so many times that you'd hook a fish, I never even got the net to the water. And, but fortunately, I was a good enough fisherman for the spots that you put me in to where I could catch enough fish to make that show. So we did okay as a team.
In my defense, that's not usually as bad as it is that day. But I'm also a pretty good net man, and I'll claim that title. And I
very
prefer
good net
that
guy.
Title.
Very good net guy.
I pride myself in my netting. But yeah, that was a rough one. But if you watch the very end of our show, you stuck my reaction to all the misses, with the exception of the last one, in there while you were rolling credits. Because I said a dirty word the last time, and you said, you ruined my shot.
Oh. Boy, that's hard to remember every bit of it. You know, I remember quite a bit of those. I mean, we shot well over 300 shows. And I can remember, if I can get my Rolodex, now I'm dating myself here, my Rolodex in my brain to that particular subject, then I can roll with you. It just takes a little while to get it operated. I wish our brains were like hard drives and I could delete like from birth to age 20. I don't need those memories anymore. Just get rid of them, clear up about 2 terabytes of space, and now I can remember people's names. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that would be fantastic, because I never forget a face, but boy, the name thing. Oofta. So I'm going to move on eventually, but I got to tell one story about our trip. You may or may not remember. It was when I was fishing in the back of Greenwood because it was high water, and I went into the first tree, and I handed you the gripper, and you looked at me like, what are you doing? And you looked at Eric, the camera guy, and you looked at each other, and I grabbed it and slapped it in the tree, and you guys were just shocked that I didn't check for snakes in this green tree. And I was like, what about snakes? And you guys had to explain to me about snakes, which we don't have up here. And I just remember, I mean, that I tell that story in my boat still to this day all the time about these snakes that we don't have, but you guys were very concerned for my safety and well-being sure. because of these snakes, because I didn't know.
Yeah, well, you kind of forget your surroundings, whether you're north, south, or whatever, and you go back to instinct. You know, where I grew up, you pull underneath summertime, you pull underneath the tree, old No Shoulders is going to be laying there, and he may be right in your lap. So, yeah, that was one of those that I'm like, man, y'all don't even check for snake, beat the tree limb or something, but no, just, oh, no, you betcha, let's pull on under, there's no snakes, you know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, something like that. So
yeah, it sounded similar.
So you've been all over the place and seen a lot of things, and you once told me, I mean, this is back when we were shooting catfish, that catfish is something viewers always wanted to watch. Does that still hold up, that viewers still really want to watch catfish?
It is. And that goes back to the original thing I said about, you know, the old boy holding his cell phone, smoking a cigarette and everything else. I don't want that to be the stigma for catfishermen anymore. I mean, you know, back, it used to be they'd say, you know, bank fishing, like I said earlier. Now, these guys are running $50,000, $60,000 boats and high-dollar rod and reels, and they take it very seriously, and they take their videos very seriously. People like seeing catfish, and one thing, because they get big. You know, that's the thing. Of course, everybody wants to see the big catfish, you know. But also, quantity is good. You go out and catch, you know, 15 or 20 blue cats or vice versa with channel cats or whatever. That's a good fun show too, because that's the reality. You're not going to go out and catch these huge, you know, 30-pound channels or 60-pound blue cats or 50, 60-pound flatheads, you know. So the reality is, you know, you're going to catch some would be eaters, but, you know, you're anywhere from your 10 to 15 to 20. That's a good fish. Those are really good fish in either species, real good fish, 20-pounder in a channel cat, but those are just good, and they fight. I mean, they just fight. They put a big bow in your rod, and they're just fun. You know, you got to get slimed, man. Got to get that slime on you. The slime is where it's at. You know, you think about using bait. What other species are you going out other than walleye or something? But what other species you going out there? You go out and catch your bait first. You know, you got your dip, you're throwing that in there and you throw it out and you're catching bait. And then you put it in your well or a bucket or whatever. Then you're cutting up bait. Then they've got places. I was in Alabama a couple years ago with Ryan Casey. And we're pulling up somewhere. He goes, I got to see a guy about some skipjack. Oh, it's 9 or 10 o'clock at night. You know, I'm thinking, see a guy about some skipjack. Oh, yeah, well, I've got to go buy some skipjack. I said, is that legal? He goes, well, yeah, sure it is. You know, I said, what, it's like a skipjack mafia out here now? Or where are we going when we were out here in this dark parking lot? You know, this old boy pulls up in this old Ford pickup, you know, and gets out. And got the old matchstick in his mouth, you know, he drops the tailgate, got a great big old cooler there, and there's bags of skipjack, and Ryan's digging around in there, and he puts them in his mouth to see how fresh they are and everything, you know, and I'm like, what is this? I mean, I have never in my life, but this is big stuff. These guys want fresh bait, and next thing you know, I'm peeling off $20 bills like Jed Clampett, you know, just peel off what you need, and we got bait for tomorrow, you know, so, I mean, it starts from the bait, to the tackle, to the boats. I mean, it's really taken off, and it's one of the hottest species out there. You got some huge tournaments now that are paying really good money, and catfishing has just been it's a wonderful sport now. It's great. You don't have to be embarrassed to say you're a catfisherman. In fact, you're proud to say you're a catfisherman because of where it's come now over the past 20 years.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I was doing this long before it seemed cool. And a question that I ask and am going to ask everybody who's been around it for a while, yourself, and, you know, we're hoping to get Keith Sutton on here shortly as well, is how has it changed in terms of people participating? And the reason I ask that is I know most people say it's booming and everything, but when I was working on my first book, I talked to Keith Sutton and I talked to Doug Stange, and they said, no, it's not gaining people. They're coming out of the shadows. We're seeing them more because it's being more popular. What's your take on that?
Well, that's somewhat true, yeah, but you can't tell me that there's not more people, but just because of the, well, you can see it on the amount of social media posts now. We could see it just in the boating industry of people buying boats just for the catfish. Now, you're going to tell me that every one of them have just been hid in the shadows and now they want to, you know, get a new boat or a different boat. I think there's a lot of interest, and it's due in part to what we've been talking about is what they've been seeing out there. And they're getting excited about it. They want to try it. They want to try something new. You know, you got to figure your catfish guys will go crappie fishing. Your crappie guys will go catfishing. You know, bass guys will even go crappie fishing, and they'll go catfishing. But catfishermen and crappie guys, they really don't bass fish. You know, so you go to any, now I know they say bass fishing is the most popular, well, it's the most lucrative, there's no doubt. But if you say the bass are literally biting on a safety pin, there'll be five bass boats at the ramp. But if you say the crappie or the catfish could start biting at any given time, you can't find a parking spot. So I think that the notoriety of the species of the sport of catfishing has evolved now in the last 10 or 15 years, where those people from the shadows that Doug was saying are now coming out and exploiting and showing what they've been doing to gain more interest to the general public. And now more of those people are coming out. And so I think it's a 50-50 split of what Doug said and then of the new people that are joining because of those people that are coming out of the shadows, I think.
Right. And we're getting a new generation of younger folks, sure, too. So they were never in the shadows. I mean, they're coming in, and, you know, those of us who've been around a while now, I guess, would be called old timers or at least getting there. You know, I've watched a lot of this media, and I was kind of joking. I've seen three generations of media and catfish already in my career, and for various reasons. But, you know, that makes me, I guess, a veteran to call it good. But, you know, you've been with a lot of people. You mentioned Ryan Casey. You've been up there on the Mississippi. You've been to Milford Lake.
Yeah.
You know, obviously your general area. What do you think as far as the, you know, what's your take on it? I know St. Louis is big cat central, and Milford's coming alive because of the good regs, and it's becoming more popular. Just kind of give a viewpoint on the two and the difference. I realize Milford isn't the giant lake yet, but it's getting
well. That's an impoundment too, you know, so. Or the river, I mean, you're always going to get, I think, your biggest fish on a river system. I mean, you know, you've got more opportunity for that. The Mississippi River Plus is so big and so vast. But really, I think the Tennessee River is the, I guess, I'm maybe speaking out of turn, but that could be the really the big catfish mecca, you know, along the Tennessee River. I mean, you just watch what Mike Mitchell is doing over there, and I mean, good grief. I mean, I've caught my biggest catfish ever on the Tennessee River in that part of the Wheeler, Wilson, Pickwick, you know, lakes right there in that part of northern Alabama and Tennessee area. You know, but then you've got in Texas, Oklahoma border, and all around Tawakoni and down through there. I mean, some of those are really nice catfish lakes, but the big fish, I think really the trophy lake, I guess you want to say, in that with the Tennessee River is where the, I think people really go to catch the biggest. I know the guys are going to argue with me out in South Carolina and Virginia and all that, you know, with Santee and Watery and some of those lakes out there. And they are big. They've got some, but I've never fished them, so I can only go on my opinion.
Well, I can pretty much only go on what I read. But, you know, my biggest flathead is on the Tennessee River, so I kind of got to go with you there. I mean, I've definitely got to get back in that stretch of the world and try that again.
Yeah.
So we've covered the TV industry. In your fishing, what do you do just for fun? If you go fishing for fun, what do you do? What do you target? Do you just go to the closest whatever you got, or is there something that you like to chase?
I'm trying to think of when the last time I fished for fun. Wow. I think I fished for fun one time last year, and I fished for crappie only because I needed something to eat. I've always been, while I'm still shooting stuff, I hate to just go out and fish for fun because I know I'm going to have a banner day. And I wish that I'd brought my camera. So what I do for fun, which is pretty sad that you do what you used to do for fun, you made your career, then you run out of stuff you do for fun. But, you know, used to up until I was 50, I played ball. I still played softball and traveled around, played and stuff. Not that I still couldn't play. I just, after playing some sort of organized ball for 40 something years, I just got tired of playing. I don't really play golf that much anymore. I really enjoy the yard stuff. I got my little John Deere, and man, I've got older neighbors now in their 90s. And so I kind of look after their place. We got gardens and stuff. So I'm a piddler. Let's just say I like to piddle. If I could be a full-time piddler and just be happy with that. So, but if I fish, I'm usually working if I'm fishing.
Well, that's, you know, I catfish for a living, but I go to Devil's Lake and chase walleyes and pike with my boy. That's my days off. I mean, I still fish, but I don't, you know, I know how it is. I understand. I mean, preparation and there's a lot more goes into the guiding business and the things that we do than a lot of people really understand.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's talk, you've been mentioning boats and how there's gearing in. I mean, we both deal with G3. Obviously, the one we'd want to talk about is that Sportsman 2100, and then now they got the 2400. I mean, those are geared to catfishing, and we don't have them up here. I mean, they just haven't quite made it up this far north yet, but what a machine, and it looks like it's, you know, really taken off in that area and given another company a little bit of breathing down their neck a little bit.
Well, and you know, and that's not the purpose for even doing that. There's, you know, there's plenty of people out there that are wanting that style of boat. We're not out to capture the catfish market per se or whatever. You know, we've got over 100 different models of boats. So, you know, we can't just focus on one genre or whatever and leave others behind or whatever, where, you know, it's the smaller boat companies, you know, if that's their bread and butter, then of course that's what they want to be. And if it upsets them that another boat company, whether it be us or somebody else, kind of gets in that genre, well, that's not the idea. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not going to try to shut them down. But we made the G3 Sportsman. What started the G3 Sportsman line, we kind of got it off of the show. We kind of started rolling on the popularity of the G3 Sportsman show. So with our Eagles, our Mod V boats, we started making the G3 Sportsman line from a 16-10, 17-10, 18-10, and a 19-10 and a Mod V. So then when we decided we wanted to get into, I don't want to call it a catfish boat. Let's say a big water boat. We just went with the Sportsman at the time, the Sportsman 200. That was the first boat, which was a 21 or a 20 footer. So then we went up to the 2100, which is a 21 foot. And we wanted it wide. So it's, you know, it's 8 foot across and you got 21 feet. It's got a 125 wall. So it's a good thick aluminum. Not a lot of frills because really, catfish guys or big water guys, I mean, they're not fancy. You want to go to the catfish conference or whatever and talk to some of them old boys right there. I mean, you know, they're not wearing polos or whatever else. A lot of them told me they carry their catfish gear in a coffee can. So with their sinkers. In fact, a lot of my catfish gear right here, one little old box. That's all I want.
Mine actually isn't that much bigger. The one that lives in the boat. Of course, I keep a coffee can full of sinkers on hand, but
yeah,
for the most part, my box is about that size.
What they want is the room. That's what they wanted, is the room. You know, no wide rod lockers on the sides or anything else, because now everything else you put in that boat just brings you that closer together. And so we wanted to keep it wide open, because behind that console, that's where it all happens right there. That's where everything happens. So we wanted to give the most room that we could possibly get in that 21-foot boat. And we needed a large live well, but we wanted a large live well that also would recirculate and pump in with two pumpers to where it would keep those big fish alive. If you wanted to revive them and put them back in the water, or you did want to keep a few, or you're in a tournament and needed to keep them alive. So it's really worked out. You know, the guys love the big windshields on there, the comfortable ride. They're dry. They run good with the Yamahas. Of course, we're a Yamaha boat company, so every boat that G3 makes has a Yamaha in it. And even with the 175 on the Sportsman 2100, it'll still push you at least 49 miles an hour, but it's rated for a 200, so you can get up into the 50s. And according to how you want to prop it and everything else, you could get more. But now we've got the 2400, so that's just the big brother of that, because that's what people want. That's what these guys are wanting right here. You know, they want more room. They want big. Go big or go home. There's some boat companies that are making them in a 26. You know, so bigger the better. So they figure big boat, big fish, big time. Let's just do it. So we're trying to adapt with the market, and we're trying to give the people what they want. Now, they can still get the G3 Johns, you know, the jet boats or the tunnel hole boats like you've run. I mean, how many catfish have you caught out of those boats? You know, the bay boat could even work as a catfish boat too. You could fish from the front or the sides or out the back or whatever in those two. They'll draft shallow if you need to do that. So there's opportunities for guys. They don't have to have the big Sportsmans. They can get the Gator Tough Johns, but they can get the bay boats and still catfish out of them and be more, maybe a little more affordable. So we try to accommodate. We try to have all of our boats multi-species and not target one particular fish per boat.
Well, you kind of led right into my next point. And you even mentioned it, that I've been running that 1966 tunnel, which, you know, it's unfortunately that went out of the rotation, but I'm probably switching over to bay next time because it has what I want. And I, you know, that's probably my next step. Don't get me wrong. I'd like a 2100 Sportsman as well. I'm just fearful if we got shallow water, I'd tear the bottom off the thing. But, and again, you've mentioned you've never seen us shallow, but I have. When they say that 1966 tunnel hull is meant for 10 inches of water at the factory, they mean it, and I can attest to that. But yeah, I've been running these now. This will be my 14th year running G3 coming up in 2021. But, you know, I went with the center console, very simple. I can get rod holders, I can get three anglers in it, plus myself, and have lots of room. You talked about that.
Yeah.
My particular boat doesn't exist anymore, but you go over to the bay side, and now you have basically that boat with more horsepower and pretty colors, which I kind of like too. So that's kind of where I'm looking down for the future. And
it'll ride so much better. You'll have now the you'll have the Mod V style hull on there, to where on the John, you know, it would get a little rough riding or whatever, you know, because it was basically a John boat. But that Bay 20 tunnel would be ideal for what you do. I mean, you could just flip that seat. Now you're fishing out the back. You can flip that seat back over, and you're running wherever you want to go. You've got plenty of room for the guys up front or wherever, and you've got the channel in there where you can put out rod holders or whatever, and there's nothing to say that bay boats couldn't be used for catfishing. I say that's as good a boat as you can get as far, and it'll run shallow like you like, and I don't know why that bay wouldn't work just perfect for you.
Right, that's what I'm looking at. The other thing is, supposedly, we're coming into a dry cycle, and we've seen a touch of it the past couple of years, and if we don't start getting some winter, we're going to see it big time this year, or next year, I guess. But I'm starting to do the research on the 20 jet, just kind of thinking of that road. Personally, I'd rather run a bay boat, but if it's going to be shallow and breaking things, there is that option available. And, you know, there's always a way around it. I mean, how many is it? You said it's over 100. One time it was 109. One time it was 111. I mean, I hear different numbers every year. You know, models come, models go.
109, 111, what?
Well, models that G3 carries.
It's actually over 120.
One year it was 109, one year is 111. Yeah. Models come, models go. I mean, that is what it is. And, you know, that's an awful lot of boats. I've been down there twice, and I've seen that lot where they sit, and that's a lot of boats.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you know, you talk about a jet, but a tunnel and have a hydraulic jack plate on there is what I would prefer, because then that way, I mean, and I'm only basing it on your part of the country, where you're at and what you're doing. Yeah, that jet I think would work just fine all year round or whatever. But you have the tunnel hull with the prop, then you can, of course, raise your motor instead of trimming like a lot of people would have to trim.
Right.
And then most of the year, then you can still drop her on down and run it just like you normally would. The jet boat is a, it's a skinny water dude now. I mean, you can boldly go where most won't. They're fun.
I've ridden in
them. They're fun to run.
I went with those crazy Montanans in the Yellowstone River where it's crystal clear water going in 3 inches of water over boulders, and that, that's all I'm going to say on that.
Oh, but you'll get in your pickup truck and drive across a frozen lake.
It's totally different. You don't see the rocks on the
bottom.
You're
more worried about 3 inches of water. Come on. Now, guys out here, come on. Now, you guys have to agree with me on that. I mean, geez.
So you're sure you don't want to come up and go ice fishing?
No. No, I'm not coming.
It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story when I was in Alabama about that. When I was in Alabama, it was I think 2015, the Bassmaster Classic was there the week before I was, and then a cold front came through. And we're on Gunnerville and then going through the locks down to Wheeler. And the one day, the folks I was with were bundled up, and the sun came out in the afternoon. It was 68 degrees, and I couldn't get stripped down to a T-shirt fast enough. And they're laughing at me because it's cold outside.
Yeah.
And just like clockwork, I got a text. My buddies were fishing on Lake of the Woods, and the real temperature at that moment was minus 32. And I said, jeez, this is beautiful. Come on, what are you talking about, guys?
It's 100-degree difference. 100 degrees difference. It's minus 32, and you're at 68. That's 100 degrees difference.
Yeah, well, it gave us something to talk about while we waited for blue cats to bite.
Man, you guys up there, man, y'all just hope summer falls on a weekend. I mean, it's just, ugh.
You know, one thing I remembered when we were cruising around Grand Forks that first evening is you commented on everybody being outside in their yard and basketball hoops and flags flying. So obviously we do enjoy summer when we have it.
Sure, absolutely. And everybody there was just, they were wonderful people. We went to that one place, ate yellow perch, and I mean, everybody was just as friendly as they could be. You know, they all thought I had an accent, which I thought I didn't. I thought everybody up there did. But they were, oh, everybody there was, I think we ended up going into Cabela's a couple of times. Well, it rained. I remember it just poured down rain the one time. And
that was the first morning. We ended up in Cabela's killing time because we didn't want to go out.
That's right. Had one of them cute little Cabela's. It was a little, one of them little stores. It was just as neat as it could be.
As far as I know, it's still the smallest one in the fleet.
But, yeah.
Yeah, we got a neat little one right downtown by the river, so it's kind of a neat little location.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, Scott, we're running out of time here. I want to thank you so much for coming on with us. It's always a pleasure. I mean, we went places I wasn't really expecting, but I left the note sheet blank just for that reason, because why not?
That's right. That's right.
So, again, thanks for coming up. Everybody, check him out on social media. Scott Turnage, G3 Sportsman. Any other places people need to be looking for you?
Well, I mean, you know, they find me in, you know, some of my daily stuff on Instagram and Facebook or whatever. It's the normal stuff. And just check out G3Boats.com. You know, check out the boats. We have a new build your boat. Tool now to where if you're looking for a new boat, you could go in and kind of get an idea of all the stuff that you can have on it now. And
I was playing with that on Saturday. I just found that. I was having all kinds of fun with that, looking at different bay boat layouts and things like that.
It puts in an MSRP. It puts in an MSRP price, but it gives you an idea. Then you can talk to the dealer of your choice or whatever, and then you guys can do the pricing, let the dealers, because everything's priced different in different parts of the country, just like anything else. But it's a neat feature just at G3Boats.com. Any boat you pick and want to choose, you can find that build and price tab right there by that boat, and it's a good feature. But, yeah, G3 Sportsman, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Try to keep up with me and see what all's going on in the crazy world of me. And we'll still try to get out there and shoot a decent show and some fun picks and stories and everything for everybody to see and listen to, and we hope you like them.
Before
and
I let
for
you,
having.
Oh, yep. I forgot to hit record. We got a score.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, are you still wearing crazy colored shoes all the time?
Yeah, I'm not having it now. I've actually, because I'm out here, I just put on a pair of Crocs, but they're camo. But I do that with my sunglasses and all that stuff too. So
the reason I asked, and you can't see my camera in the studio, but I do have my Hawaiian shirt Crocs with me.
Dale, just, oh yeah, I got you.
And I got green ones and red ones and blue ones. And
well, see, I gave you a little class. See, I rubbed that off on you to get a little color going.
Well, when we were shooting, I would have worn my green ones, but I thought I should be classy.
I see you got those in two-wheel drive. See, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive.
Yeah, but you got the off-road ones that right there.
yeah, these could be off-road right here. That's right. That's exactly right.
So, well, thanks again for joining us. It's really good to talk to you. I mean, I was really looking forward to this interview. I mean, it's been a long time since we talked, and you always have something interesting to say, and you're from a part of the world that Northerners like myself just don't get into all that often. So, again, thanks a lot for joining me.
Good group of people up there. I love those people up there. They're just as friendly as they can be. And so any of y'all watching this from anywhere south of there, go up to North Dakota and visit those people. They'll just welcome you with open arms. It's a great place. So, and then big channel cats now. Don't forget about them.
Oh, yeah. We got channel cats. Again, everybody, Scott Turnage. Scott, thanks a lot again. That does it for this week's Catfish Best Source. Stay tuned for next week's show. Between now and then, check out Grand Forks Best Source at gfbestsource.com. Local Grand Forks podcasts every day. Look me up on the web at redrivercatfish.com, Facebook, and Instagram. Until next time, I'm your host, Brad Durick. Thank you for joining.